picture, if you would, a large room. In this room, there's a large, long table. And behind the table sit 11 men. In front of the table, sitting on a chair, is one man. In other words, a typical interview setup. Before the interview itself, the 11 men had appraised themselves of what they required. They polled everybody in the church, all 120 of them. They asked them what they thought their strengths and weaknesses were, also what they required in a leader. They then condensed these thoughts into several snappy sentences, then they compiled a beautifully produced glossy brochure and posted it to all those who'd answered the ad in the local Jerusalem Gazette. They asked for written answers, black quill only. After whittling down the hundreds of replies to a dozen or so, they then went out all over Judea to visit the prospective candidates in their local settings. They graded them on their preaching style, their administrative ability, and their pastoral presence to those in need. The whole process took a year, but they whittled it down to two prospective candidates, Julius and Matthias. Matthias now sat before them. The leader of the group of 11 opened the interview. "Now, Matthias, why do you think we need another apostle?" "Well, Peter, as you well know, Jesus himself appointed the original 12, probably because 12 represents one apostle for each of the tribes of Israel. Jesus said, Scripture must be fulfilled. He said, I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So you need 12 apostles. And Peter, you yourself quoted from Psalms 69 and 109. In 69, it condemns Judas. In 109, it says that his place must be filled. Well done, Matthias. Now tell us, why would you like to join us on the board of apostles? Well, Peter, I fulfill all the criteria that you asked for. I have all the experience you asked for. I was there when our Lord was baptized. I was one of the Baptist recruits at the time, but I soon realized that the man John was pointing to was the Messiah. So I followed Jesus ever since. I was among those he sent out to preach and teach and heal on several occasions. I knew then that this was to be my life's work. I must admit, I did fall away once. I ran away, as everyone else did, at the crucifixion. But since our Lord was raised from the dead, I have seen him several times. And that meeting of the 500 was something special. My heart jumped for joy as I took in every word Jesus said. It enhanced my original desire to have a life of service to the poor and needy. I have been a faithful servant. Well, Matthias, that is most worthy. Andrew, do you have a question? Yes, Matthias. Do you have any possessions? Yes, I did. But I sold the land I had and intend to give the money to the poor amongst our number. That's a good idea, worth considering. Thank you for your replies, Matthias. Now, do you have any questions to put to the panel? Well, I intend to serve for as long as I am able. However, if I get too old to serve, could you tell me of your pension arrangements? Pension arrangements? We hadn't considered them. I doubt that you will live so long. We can offer hanging, flaying, stoning, being shot with arrows, fed to lions, poisoning, and of course being nailed to a cross. Still interested? Most certainly. Good. We shall let you know our decision in a couple of weeks when we have the DBS checks in, and we'll publish the result in the next edition of the Church Times. But we all know of Matthias. All we know of him is his name and the fact that he must have been with Jesus from the earliest moments. And, of course, that he was appointed to the apostleship. We don't know what he did as an apostle. Tradition has it that he went to the Ethiopians. If he did, he must have done a spectacular job, because the Ethiopian church was one of the earliest. We can say how fortunate Matthias was not to have been born in the 21st century. This occasion was the first occasion that the church had become an institution. The need for a 12th member was paramount. So it was the first church committee meeting. And after 2,000 years, this little band of disorganized disciples became a diverse, global, holy, sometimes unholy, institution called the Church. And because it is institutionalized, it has acquired all the trappings of institutions: offices, officers, committees, councils, rules, politics, and even land. Today, church leaders have to jump through hoops before they can practice their calling, and spend years before they can even minister. I mean, even I had to pass through several interviews before I could go reader training, and another 3 years instruction. But don't let that put you off if you've got a calling. Here in Budok, we believe in the early church method of selection. We trust in the Lord to bring forward those who, like Matthias, will step up to the mark. Ordinary people being called by an awesome God. We don't even roll dice to help us make a decision. However, we do believe that people on occasion might need a slight nudge to help them come to a decision. To that end, several things have been instrumental in the growth of our church. First of all, and above all, we've had Jeffrey, a true shepherd for his flock, who encourages his flock to be more than sheep, who dutifully turn up at 10 a.m. every Sunday, get their fill, and disappear for a week. Secondly, the Walk Cornwall experience showed us that we can step up to the mark and prove to be good workers for the Lord. Since then, we've had the filling station tomorrow night, if you're interested, and Messy Church, the Light Party, Cabin Club, Baptism Party, home groups, and courses just like Just 10. And all of these events have been well attended, and they serve us well as we gain knowledge in the Bible and the confidence to proclaim our faith. But we cannot stop there. We aim to complement the Messy Church by starting Open the Book, initially at St. Francis and St. Mary's, but then across Falmouth. So this will be a deanery and a Falmouth Churches Together endeavour. Another initiative we're thinking of doing is a ministry to what we call tweenagers, children between the ages of 9 and 12, the preteens. So, we're going to be busy. We all need to be apostles, that is, ambassadors, witnesses to the resurrection. And to help us, our third initiative is a new course, the Growing Leaders course. We last ran this course about 3 years ago, and it proved to be very successful. Every person on it became a leader. Not all became church wardens, of course, however reluctantly, shall we say, but everybody did something in the church, above and beyond just warming the pews. We shall be running a new course, a new Growing Leaders course, probably in the new year. And you will have to look into your own hearts and ask yourself, am I doing enough to help my Lord bring in the kingdom? Can I be like Matthias and step out of my comfort zone? What can I do? What can I do to help fulfill Jesus' request to make disciples? Because we are a community with a purpose. We are not a social club. We are not a club based around a hobby. As a church, we are more than just a congregation. We are more than just a collection of people. We are a family. We are brothers and sisters together, sharing the same Heavenly Father. And we are under His authority, witnessing His glory in our ordinary lives. We should be bursting with energy, falling over one another in our rush to claim souls for the kingdom. Let us pray.